You to take your Bibles this morning and turn with us to the book of Acts, chapter number 2. Acts chapter 2 is where we will start this morning in a few moments. And 2 years ago now, we had for our theme for the year the theme of back to basics. And with that theme, we looked at a sermon series where we talked much about the church's priorities. And we talked much about worship. We talked about evangelism. We talked about discipleship. We talked about prayer. And we talked about fellowship. And it's that last one this morning that I want us to hone in on a little bit more and focus in on a little bit more, and that is the thought of fellowship. And I don't know about you, but for the longest time, for me at least, when I thought of fellowship, I thought that fellowship consisted of a bunch of Christians sitting around, eating donuts, drinking coffee, having a lunch or dinner together in the fellowship hall. And now, while there certainly isn't anything wrong with those things, I just couldn't help but understand or wonder, well, how's a bunch of Christians sitting together eating coffee or eating donuts and drinking coffee all that important to God? And well, it took me many years to figure out what biblical fellowship really is and what biblical fellowship is all about. But again and again, it has been the means, as we think about biblical fellowship, that God uses to sustain our faith, to help keep us grounded, and to help us thrive in our relationship with Jesus. And especially this past week, as I was working on the bulletin, and if you'll take your bulletin there just for a few moments, I took notice of the several different opportunities that as a church we have coming up for things outside of a normal corporate gathering, a normal corporate worship experience. We have the Calvary's Love coming up in August. We have the Night at the Movies at the end of August. We have, hopefully, Lord willing, a men's Bible study coming up. We have the Christmas parade and all the planning that'll go into that. We have a men's fellowship, a ladies' fellowship. Yes, even the fall work day and the food and fire fellowship, the chili cook-off, and all of these different little things that we have coming up. And, you know, some may even wonder, well, why so many different events and why so many different things going on? And hopefully we'll answer that question today. And but as I was working on it, and next summer we'll have Vacation Bible School, and you know, I began to think about, well, how not necessarily everyone gets involved with these opportunities. And so I began to wonder whether we really understand, well, what fellowship is and why we need it and why fellowship is so vital to our Christian growth and our walk as a Christian. And at the same time, hopefully, Lord willing, encourage everybody that's here to get more involved in these opportunities that we have coming up. And so, you're there, Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And I invite your attention to begin there at verse number 42. Acts chapter number 2, beginning at verse 42 down through the end of the chapter, verse number 47. Acts chapter 2, and beginning at verse number 42. The Bible says there, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. and all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And now the verse I want us to focus on this morning is that verse there in verse number 42, where the Bible says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers." And so for a few moments this morning, I'd like to preach to us on this thought, the purpose of fellowship. The purpose of fellowship. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do again thank you for this day. And Lord, we do thank you for your love and your mercy towards us. And Lord, now we just pray that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lord, help me to preach this message with your help and your empowerment. Lord, help me to say those things that need to be said. Help me to refrain from those things which need not be said. And Lord, may this message this morning be a help, a challenge, encouragement to these your people. And Father, this morning, may we see the importance, the need for fellowship that is vital to our Christian growth. And Lord, help us to seek to enjoy and partake more of Christian fellowship with one another. And Lord, this morning, if there be one here this morning that are not Christ as their Savior, we pray, Lord, they not leave this place without getting that settled, 100% sure that Christ is their Savior and that heaven's their home. And now, Lord, for all that you'll do, we'll be careful to give you the praise, the honor, the glory, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so here in Acts chapter 2, and really the entire book of Acts, we have what is the blueprint for the early New Testament church. And you've heard me say any number of times, if you want to know how a church should operate, just read the book of Acts, and you'll find out very quickly how a church is supposed to operate. And here, especially in chapter 2, in these verses, we see what they did as that early church. And verse 42 especially, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread." The Bible tells us in Hebrews 10:25, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." And then 2 Corinthians 6:14, the Bible tells us, "But be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness?" So we see here from our text this morning that we can come to the conclusion, and rightfully so, that the early church was big on fellowship. And here in Acts chapter 2, our text talks much about fellowship. Now, fellowship here is a word that means sharing something in a partnership or a small community. And so when you see here where it says that these early believers devoted themselves, gave themselves to fellowship, what it's saying is that this group of believers in the early church, that they were committed to sharing their life in Christ. But they weren't just committed to sharing their life in Christ alone and separate and isolated and in their own houses. No, they were committed to sharing their life in Christ together. And this early church and these early believers, they had a conviction that their faith was something that would grow only as they grew in their relationship with one another, and only as they supported and encouraged one another in that faith. So here's the problem we have today. You see, today people can attend church. And they can attend church for years and years and years and think, well, just because I show up for a service and I sit myself in a pew for that service and I'm seated with other Christians around me, well, then somehow I have participated in fellowship. But the reality is that there is often and often is no sharing of the spiritual life. And because of that, spiritual growth is stunted as a result. And we've seen it taken even to the extreme here in a post-COVID world and a post-2020 world where it occurs where people, now they don't even attend church at all, but instead they listen to a preacher on television, they listen to a preacher on the radio, they watch the live stream, and you know, I praise the Lord for the technology to be able to live stream. We put the sermons onto the church website after the fact, and you know, technology is great for those purposes, for folks who are shut in and they can't make it to a church. But make no mistake about it this morning, that preacher on the TV is not your pastor. And that church on the TV is not a local New Testament church that you are a part of. And that preacher on the radio is not your pastor. That church on the radio is not your pastor. And those things, that live stream is not your church necessarily. It does not replace the local New Testament church and the church-going experience. The Lord made the church to gather. In fact, that's what the word church means. It comes from an old Greek word, ekklesia, which means called out ones. And it's to be a gathering place where Christians gather together. And you know, this morning, the greater the isolation, the greater the danger. We isolate ourselves and we become endangered with our spiritual growth. But every Christian, I don't care how old, how young, how long you've been saved, every Christian needs some person to hold his or her hands in this race. And this is because, you know, those who walk alone, they often get attacked and they often are defeated by the enemy more easily. However, two people can withstand the enemy, and three is not easily broken. Ecclesiastes 4:12, the Bible says, "And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him." And then I love this next part, "And a threefold cord is not quickly broken." And you see this morning, it's important that as Christians, we don't walk alone. However, it's equally vital that you walk with minds, with like minds, if you want their influence to affect you positively. You see, so as a believing Christian, your fellowship ought to be with fellow Christians. It ought to be with fellow believers and not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Again, 2 Corinthians 6:14, the Bible says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness?" Now, I'm not saying, you know, now listen, we all have friends who are not saved. We all have family members who are not saved. And as Christians, we ought to be a light to those people, that they might come to know Christ as their Savior. And so here at our church, as in many churches, our appeal to one another should be to get out of rows necessarily and in the circles by hopefully, Lord willing, providing opportunities for fellowship. And it ought to be our hope that the fellowship that begins through these different opportunities will then spill over into the rest of our lives. And so as we look at some reasons this morning why fellowship should be an essential part of even the busiest Christian's week. I want to challenge us with this question. Are you actively fellowshipping with other believers? Are you actively fellowshipping with other believers? And the place of fellowship in the life of the believer, that cannot be overlooked. That cannot be overstated. And this is because success and victory of a Christian, it lies greatly in our fellowship with other Christians. So quickly this morning, I want to give us 11 reasons to fellowship with other children of God. 11 reasons why we ought to fellowship with other Christians. Number one, it's the pattern of the early church. It's the pattern of the early church. Again, Acts chapter 2 and verse 46, the Bible says, "And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart." You say, why should we have fellowship with one another? Because it was the pattern of the early church. They enjoyed fellowshipping with one another. You notice what it says there in verse 46. "And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple." So here we see they had church, but not just on Sundays, not just on Wednesdays. They had church every single day of the week. But then not only that, they took the church outside of the church and they met house to house. They met in each other's homes. They got outside of the church and they had fellowship and company with each other outside of the church. And so we see that that ought to be the pattern for the church. But then secondly this morning, we see that the Christian life is impossible to live out just on Sunday morning alone. The Christian life is impossible to live out just on Sunday morning alone. You see, when you get into the Bible, you find that the Bible is filled with a lot of verses that command us with the one another commands. You think about Galatians 6:2 this morning. Bear one another's burdens. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, build one another up. James 5:16, confess your faults one to another. John 15 and verse 12, love one another. Listen, sometimes you just go throughout your New Testament and you do a study on the one another commands that are in Scripture, and you'll find that we are to be caring one for another. And it's only as we fellowship with other believers that we commit face time to each other and that any of these commands become feasible. And yet, this fellowship is at the heart of God's plan for us to grow. This is how God expects us to grow. And that's impossible to do just on Sunday morning. Because you think about it. We come in. Some of us, we get here early on Sunday morning, maybe 9:30, 10 o'clock. And we have service at 11 o'clock. We're done by 12, 12:15, somewhere in there. We stay a little bit afterwards. We talk, we visit. But for the most part, by 1 o'clock, everybody's gone. Everybody's gone home. And, you know, it's 10, 11, 12. So let's say 10 to 1 o'clock we're here on Sunday mornings. 3 hours. That is so impossible to have all the fellowship that a Christian needs in their Christian life in 3 short hours. And that's why we see that it's so essential and so vital. But the Christian life is impossible to live out just on Sunday morning alone. Number three this morning, seeing God through other people impacts our lives. Seeing God through other people impacts our lives. Now listen, studying the Bible for yourself is crucial. You need to be studying your Bible. You need to be reading your Bible on your own. Corporate worship, what we're doing this morning, the singing, the offering, the handshaking time, the message, the sermon, all of these things, the corporate worship experience is vital. But you know, time and time again, and perhaps you're the same way, people have told me that it was the timely word of another Christian or the faith of another believer that gave them the courage, the strength they needed to trust God in a difficult situation. How many times as a Christian, maybe you've been at Walmart or Tops or the gas station or somewhere, and you run into another Christian. You don't know them from Adam, but you get the talking, you get the visiting, you get the talking there at the store, and you're going back and forth. And there it seems like you've known each other for ages. And then you get to know, well, hey, they're a Christian. Hey, I'm a Christian. You say, what does that? The Holy Spirit of God that has brought people together, that helps you encourage one another through that week. You see, this morning, God uses other people to make His Word more real to us. You know, it's one thing to read the Bible. It's one thing to see the miracles that God did in the Bible. But it's a whole nother thing to have another Christian come along and say, hey, this is how God worked in my life. This is how Jesus worked in my life. This is what He did in my life. And this is what He can do in your life. And I don't know, that just encourages us to grow closer and grow more in our faith to God this morning. And God uses other people to make that word real to us. But you see, if we're not developing those meaningful relationships with other believers, then we're going to miss out on the impact He seeks to make through them. And we don't want to miss out on what God has for us. And so we see that number four this morning. It's how we support one another as a church. It's how we support one another as a church. And this is vitally important this morning because, you know, people in churches all over, it doesn't matter the church, but people will always talk about and they'll always have ideas about, well, this is what the church should be doing. Well, folks, I hate to burst your bubble this morning, but it doesn't matter what you think the church should be doing. It doesn't matter what I think the church should be doing. The only person who matters, whose opinion matters on what the church should be doing, is God's opinion on what the church should be doing. And if we're doing what God tells the church should be doing, then we are doing it the right way. And that's the only thing that matters this morning. Listen, oftentimes, and it happens because we allow our traditions to supersede the Bible. We allow our traditions, and well, we've been doing it for 100+ years this way, and it has to be for the next 100 years that we do it. Well, if it's not the way the Bible does it, it doesn't matter how long you've been doing it, if it's not the way God has it to be done. And then we think, well, you know what? We are the church. You know, my pastor used to always say, you know, how do you spell the word church? C-H-U-R-C-H. Without you are, there can be no church. And so I think this morning of the church there in Dallas, the First Baptist in Dallas, they just lost their sanctuary due to a fire. 120+ year old sanctuary. Now, a lot of history, a lot of memories, so on and so forth. But and the pastor came out and I saw one of his statements and it encouraged me because he said, well, we're just thankful that the church isn't the building. And folks, this morning, the church isn't the building. Listen, a tornado could come and wipe this building out tomorrow, and it would not matter because the church is not the building. The people are the building. Now, would we be sad? Would you be sad because of the memories and the history and all the rest? Absolutely, and there's nothing wrong with that as long as we don't forget the fact that the people are the building. Or the people are the church, I should say. The building is not the church. And so often we get into the trap and we get into the trouble where the building becomes an idol. And the building becomes this focal point of worship. But folks, we're not here to worship the building. We're here to worship the God of the building. And He's the one that we need to worship this morning. And we are the church, all of us here. We are the church. And in Scripture, fellowship is God's primary means of supporting believers. And so fellowship ought to be the center of our church's plan to care for one another. And so until we all get out of the rows and into those circles of life, it's difficult for us to get and give the support we need. But then number five this morning, it's simple. It's commanded. Fellowship is commanded. Again, the Bible tells us, Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And if we're truly children of God who love Him, we will obey this instruction. We need to gather together in His house. But then number six this morning, we see that we're not an island. We're not an island. You see, God knew what He was doing when He created us. And God created us and God structured us as a people to need one another. We need one another. Even if we think we don't need one another, we need one another. And God stressed this many times in Scripture by instructing them to walk together. You notice it. There's always in Scripture a minimum of two by two. That is a scriptural principle. And this is such that, you know, what one lacks, well, then the other can supply. And if you're down one day, well, the other person can prop you up. And again, it eliminates to a great extent, if not completely, the challenge of loneliness. Genesis 2:18, the Bible says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make an helpmeet for him." You see, God never created us to be alone. He never created us to be an island unto ourselves. And then number seven this morning, we see the sharpening of our faith. The sharpening of our faith. You see, fellowshipping with other children of God enables you to sharpen your faith with others. Those that work with the wise will be wise. And that also means that it will boost your faith as well. Remember, in James, the Bible tells us that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if you come together with other children of God, you share the Word of God, then that's going to build your faith in God. Proverbs 27:17, the Bible says, "Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend." Listen, there's nothing I like better as a pastor than to have people come up and we have questions and we have discussions about whether something we read in the Scripture or a message or a point or whatever the case may be. And we try and figure it out together and we try and understand it together. And you might come at it with a different point of view that I didn't think of. And you can point something out to me that, you know, and I've said it often when I'm preparing a message, I'm looking at it one certain point of view. And as you're sitting there listening and you're reading the verses, something might jump out at you that I didn't even think about. And then you bring it to my attention and we can then bounce that off of each other and talk about that. And a number of us have done that over the years. And I remember folks here, we've done it. And there in Philly, we after church on Sunday nights or Wednesday nights, we'd go out to one of the local diners and we'd have dinner after church. And then we'd, you know, we'd drop some people off on the church van. And then a bunch of us, we just sit around for hours in the church van just talking and talking about different things in Scripture. And sometimes we wouldn't get done till church was at 6, church was over at 7:30. After dinner, sometimes we wouldn't get in Sunday night until 12, 1 o'clock. Why? We were just talking and visiting about the things of God in Scripture. And what were we doing? Iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. But then here The eighth one is why we need the fellowship, and that's encouragement. That's encouragement. And you see, walking with people of the same faith keeps you encouraged. And this is because when you're discouraged, you know, how many of us have, you know, we've come to church, and maybe we've come to church, and we've come to church discouraged. And then we come to church, and then we see somebody's smiling face. We see someone's happy face. We see someone's happy countenance. And then all of a sudden, does that get rid of the whatever might be going on in our life? No. But all of a sudden, we, you know what? Now we feel happy. Now we feel smiley. Now we feel a little bit joyous. Why? Because now the other brothers and sisters in Christ, that they help us, and we hear something that will help lift our spirit. For example, you can hear a testimony of a person who they passed through your type of challenge and they overcame it. And that gives you the encouragement that you can overcome it too. And you know, that's very important because the enemy wants to destroy you. Satan wants to destroy you. And if he can, you know, and one of the first things he will try and do is he will try and isolate you from other encouragers with God's word. So, you know, beware of that. And whatever you have to do, get yourself around the encouragers. Because the truth will always help make you free. John 8:32, the Bible says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." But then we see number 9, and the 9th reason for fellowship this morning, and that is the prayer of agreement. The Bible tells us that if two people shall ask and agree concerning anything, then they will get it. And fellowship with other children of God is a great channel to have your prayers answered through the prayer of agreement. And this is because they're people, again, of like minds with you. And they will agree with you based on God's word, not on emotion or feelings or anything else, but based on God's word. Then reason number 10 for fellowship, it gives the presence of God. It gives the presence of God. You see, this morning God appears where two or three persons gather in His name. Matthew 18:20, "For where two or three are gathered together in My name, there am I in the midst of them." And the Bible tells us that in His presence there is fullness of joy. Psalm 16:11, "Thou wilt show me the paths of life. In Thy presence is fullness of joy. At Thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." And so you see this morning, fellowship with the children of God is a sure way of enjoying God's presence and the joy that comes with Him. And then the 11th and final reason this morning for the purpose of fellowship, and that is simply the blessings of God. The blessings of God. You see, not only will you have the joy of the Lord when you fellowship with fellow believers, but you will also enjoy the blessings of God. You see, what God will do is He will channel His blessings through His children who are willing to then take those blessings and distribute them to others. And God has instructed that we should do good, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Galatians 6:10, the Bible tells us, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." And so you see, as Christians this morning, we're in a position to help anyone who will start first with those who fellowship with them. That means we ought to care for one another this morning. And so, yes, this morning, truly two are better than one. For if one falls, the other will lift up his companion. And anyone who keeps away from the brethren, who keeps away from fellow Christians, all you're doing is secluding yourself. And all you're doing is a little giving place for the enemy to attack and destroy. Folks, this morning you need to know that the place of fellowship with the children of God, it can't be overlooked. It can't be understated. The Bible tells us that the righteous falls seven times and rises again. But I'd give the principle this morning to say, woe is the person who has no persons to raise him or her up. We need to ensure this morning that you embrace this instruction, not to avoid the fellowship with fellow Christians. Ensure that you don't miss any opportunity to fellowship with other children of God. And so again this morning, I encourage you this morning, if you're not taking advantage of the opportunities being made available, make some time this summer. Make some time this fall for some of these fellowship opportunities. And you know, we try to have different times. We try to have different places each month that, you know, are convenient to most of the congregation. You say, well, I'm just not sure where to start, or maybe that doesn't work for me. Well, just, you know, talk to us and we'll get you involved. But whatever you do, don't miss out on this vital means for your Christian growth, your Christian support. Because this Christian fellowship, it's vital, it's needed. You need this Christian fellowship in your life. Again, Acts 2:42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Let me encourage you this morning, continue steadfastly in this fellowship. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning.